Well, good morning, everyone. I hope everyone is doing well. So I know like this morning we had, with the snow coming down, so I think we were glad that, you know, you guys survived that, so you came here safely. But we know that there are some people who probably were affected by the snow and weren't able to come here in the morning, so we also pray for them. And I also noticed that some of our college students are back from their spring break, but some of them are still on the way back as they start their classes tomorrow. So we also pray for them. So because of all of this in the morning, so actually originally I had planned to start a whole new sermon series about the life of Elijah, you know, from 1 Kings chapters 17 to 19. But you know, given that there's a lot of important things to talk about to start this sermon series, I felt that it was better to maybe start that next time. So last minute, I had to make a change. I'm like, okay, I'm going to preach on something else. God, what do I preach on? You know, things happen like that. And as I was praying, I think God put in my heart to talk about joy. To talk about joy. And I want you to think about, what are the things in our life that give us great joy? You know, like for me, I guess like when my daughter was born, back in December, that was one moment in my life where I felt joy because it was my first child. But for you, it could be something else. It could be the moment when you finally graduate, the moment when you get your first paycheck, the moment when you get that promotion or you get that raise that you want. You know, there are many things in our lives that will give us great joy. But I hope that we can recognize that these things that give us joy are actually only very temporary. Because I'm sure you've experienced that once we receive that thing that we desired for so long, all of a sudden, it just goes away. We don't really seem happy anymore, and then we start to search again for something else to give us joy. We try to search for something that will satisfy us forever. But you know, in this life, if we keep on searching for some things, they will never bring us this eternal satisfaction. But I think, of course, as we know, as Christians, we know that if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if we know that we put our faith in Jesus, who had died on the cross for our sins, who has given us salvation, who has brought us eternal life, then this is something that should bring us satisfaction. This is something that should bring us great joy in our life, and that should be affected in every single thing that we do in this life. But I think like the reality is that how come if we as Christians have Jesus Christ, and that we're supposed to be joyful and we have this eternal satisfaction, how come there are many times in our life when we don't feel joy? How come there are many times in our life when we forget about that and we still search for other things to bring us joy in this life? You know, I think this is a question that we have to deal with. And I think as we look into today's passage, we will see and discover that there are moments in our lives when we actually lose joy in our relationship with Jesus. And particularly, we lose joy when we are serving Jesus, whether in church or whether in our families, wherever it is, we can lose that joy. So how? How are we losing that joy? And I think by recognizing that, then we can be able to know how we can be able to overcome it and work towards having that true eternal joy and true eternal satisfaction. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to take them out. Turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and we're going to read from verses 38 to 42. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Please follow along as I read. Now as they, Jesus and his disciples, went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Which will not be taken away from her. This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow your heads with me as we go to the Lord in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this Sunday that we can come together to worship you and to learn from your word. And Father, help us to deal with our hearts today. Deal with the reality that, you know, a lot of times we don't feel this eternal joy that we should be promised as a Christian. Father, we admit that there are times when we have turned away from you. We admit that there are times when we have sought for other things, but only realizing that we come up empty. Father, give us a reminder today about how true joy can be found in you. And help us to overcome any of those temptations, overcome any of those moments when we will actually lose joy, especially when we are serving you, because you are our Lord and our Master. We should find our source of joy in you. Father, I pray that you would teach us, Lord. We lift up all these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen. So for today, in this passage, we're going to be answering two main questions. So I know I recently, for whatever reason, I've been having only two questions for my sermons. Usually I have three. But today we have two questions that we're going to answer. The first question that we're going to ask is this. When can we lose joy in serving Jesus? When can we lose joy in serving Jesus? And to answer this question, there's going to be three moments. Three moments that talk about when we can lose joy in serving Jesus. And then we'll move on to our second question. The second question is this. How can we experience joy and grace in serving Jesus? So how can we experience joy and grace in serving Jesus? So again, those two questions. Number one, when can we lose joy in serving Jesus? There are three moments. And then question two, how can we experience joy and grace in serving Jesus? So let's start with the first question. When can we lose joy in serving Jesus? And I think I'll give us the answer to this one right away. So here's the first moment. We can lose joy in serving Jesus when we are distracted with much serving. Okay, we can lose joy in serving Jesus when we are distracted with much serving. So this is the first moment, the first answer to the first question. So read with me starting from verse 40. So again, like in this passage, we see that Jesus and his disciples go to the home of Mary and Martha. You know, they're sisters. And Martha was the one who is in the kitchen serving and getting everything right, but Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. Read with me from verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. So the beginning of this passage, or beginning of this verse, but Martha was distracted with much serving. So imagine, if you had to host someone, especially if this person is very, very important, you know, you have to think about all the things that you have to do to get your home ready. I mean, this is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. The Lord and Savior is coming to your home. Imagine all the pressure that Martha was feeling and Martha had to go through. She has to clean up the whole house, make sure that everything is dusted, make sure that everything looks well. And then she has to also think about, oh, no, I have to cook a good meal. I have to think about all the dishes that I have to do. You know, she was so distracted with all of these things that she had to do. So, I mean, what if someone important were to come to your home. Let's say, for example, if I were to come to your home, I'm not really that important, though, but I'm sure that you will have to make sure that everything in your home is well. Maybe dust off your Bible, put it on your table just to make it seem like you read your Bible every day or things like that. But anyways, or maybe like there's a big celebrity were to come to your house, like for a reason, let's say Bill Gates were to come to your house, or let's say a famous singer like Ed Sheeran or someone. This is someone who is important and you don't want to look bad in front of them, so you have to go about going doing so many things to get your house perfect. But, you know, see, at the same time, when we are serving Jesus in church or in whatever ministry, we can be very distracted with all the busyness and all the things that are required in ministry. And when that happens, this is what causes us to lose joy when we're serving him, because we're so distracted by the little things rather than focus on Jesus Christ, the one whom we are serving. You know, really, everything that we do in this life should be seen as service to Jesus, should be seen as worship to Jesus. You know, it doesn't have to be the things that you do in church, but you know, as you go out in this life, as you study, as you go to work, everything is seen as worship and seen as serving. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Or Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So everything we do is a service to Jesus. But we come back to the reality that we know that as we are doing all these things, as we are serving, there are moments when we are losing joy in serving him. And one reason, as we just said, is that maybe we have we were so distracted with serving, with much serving. So consider this. When we are distracted with service, then we are no longer serving Jesus, but rather we become a servant to the service. Say that one more time. When we are distracted with much service, then we are no longer really serving Jesus. We have become a servant to the service. And you know, we know that we can't serve two masters. You know, we either serve Jesus or we're serving something else. But for me personally, there may many times due to like all the business of ministries, you know, I have to take care of my own family. I have to take care of preaching and worship service, take care of Sunday school, take care of youth, take care of college students. You know, for me, I can be running around and a lot of times I can be distracted with that. And then I don't become happy. I don't have this joy in serving Jesus anymore because of all these distractions that are going on. We can lose it. And there's one Sunday, I remember someone like coming up to me and saying, "Oh, you're actually smiling today." That's because like the previous weeks, I don't really usually see you smiling. And I guess my default face is just like, don't really have that smile. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But you know, it does make me think, you know, really, like, how what is happening in my heart and being distracted from the service really affects, you know, not only how I feel, but how I express and how I minister to other people as well. And I'm sure many of us can be in a similar situation. You know, you're distracted with your schoolwork. You're distracted with, you know, trying to get all the projects done for your boss. You're distracted with trying to think about, oh, what's all the things that is happening in the church and all the needs that are there. But just like Martha here. Martha was distracted with much service, but she was not joyful as a result. You know, and this is why in verse 41, we hear what Jesus responds to Martha. But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things." Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. Do you hear Jesus calling your name and saying it twice maybe, comforting you and just bringing him to you and say, "You're anxious and you're troubled about many things"? I think maybe some of us are in this situation right now. Maybe one of the reasons why we're not experiencing joy is because we're just so distracted by serving and so distracted by many things. If that's the case, then we need rest. We need to go to Jesus. Whereas Martha's sister, Mary, on the other hand, what was she doing? She was focusing on Jesus by sitting at his feet and listening to him teach. So again, to answer our first question, when can we lose joy in serving Jesus? And we said the first way, we lose joy in serving Jesus when we are distracted with much serving. But I believe in this passage, there's a second moment. A second moment when we may lose joy in serving Jesus. So I'll also give you the answer to this one right away too. So number two, when are the times when we can lose joy in serving Jesus? So number two, we lose joy in serving Jesus when we compare ourselves with one another. We can lose joy in serving Jesus when we compare ourselves with one another. Let's go back to verse 40 and see how Martha interacted with Jesus. Verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" You know, essentially, what is Martha saying? She's saying, complaining to Jesus and saying, "Look, I'm doing all the work here, and what is Mary doing? Mary isn't doing anything. She's just sitting there and listening to you. See, I am a lot better than Mary right now." And actually, in fact, in the society like back then, during Jesus' time, you know, women are supposed to be the ones who are doing the cooking and the cleaning and all the housework, and they weren't allowed to actually be learning about the Torah during like you know, this biblical time. They shouldn't be sitting at a rabbi's feet like Mary was doing. So in her eyes, and also in the eyes of society, Martha thinks that she's doing a lot better than Mary. She's comparing herself with her. And I think a lot of times when we're serving in church or whatever area of life that we're in, we can also compare ourselves with one another. We can say, "Oh, I'm a lot better. I'm in a higher position of leadership than you." Or, "Look at me, I'm doing a lot more in the church than you are." Or, "Look at me, I have a higher education than you. I have a PhD, or I have a master's, and you don't." Or, "Look at me, my grades are better. Look at me, I make more money in my job." Or, "Look at me, I give more money to the church. Look at me, I am more knowledgeable about the Bible than you are. I can memorize more Bible verses than you." You see, when we have this type of mindset, you know, definitely we would be lacking joy when we are serving Jesus in our lives. You know, there is great danger when it comes to comparing ourselves with one another. You know, we may compare ourselves with one another, and we may choose to serve an area in our lives, but we don't do it because like we actually want to. We do it because we think that, "Oh, I'm the only person who can do this, and I can do it better than anyone else." But on the other hand, it works the other way around too. Maybe you may decide not to serve in church, or you might not serve in a certain ministry, but that's because you say, "Oh, someone else can do it. Someone else is better than I am. Someone else has the gift to serve in this ministry. We'll let someone else do it." You know, if we think this way as well and decide not to serve in a certain area, then it's no different. We're still comparing ourselves with one another, and this is a reason that causes us to lose joy when we are serving Jesus. Both of these cases is considered as faulty thinking because we're concerning more about ourselves and we are losing joy. So consider this. When we compare ourselves with others while serving, then we begin to seek satisfaction in ourselves rather than in Jesus. I'll say that again. When we compare ourselves with others when serving, then we begin to seek satisfaction in ourselves rather than in Jesus. So I think we need to remind ourselves that all of us are serving the same God. We're serving to honor and please the same God rather than to compare ourselves with one another. And this doesn't just happen in the individual basis. I think this happens on just even within ministries and churches. Some fellowship will compare like different fellowships. Like we say, "Oh, which fellowship has more people? Which fellowship is bringing in more people by sharing the gospel?" Or even in a larger level, we have churches that compare ourselves with one another. You know, even I think a lot of times, like our church, being a Chinese church here, we can compare ourselves with how the other Chinese church in Niskayuna is doing. You know, we shouldn't have this attitude of comparing ourselves with one another, because doing so robs us of our joy in serving Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26, you know, talking about the whole body of Christ, "If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all should rejoice together." You know, we're not all by ourselves. It's not about this church or that church. All of us are seeking to serve the same God. And so our same focus should be to please Jesus. So again, while Martha was comparing herself with Mary and thinking she was doing better, Jesus was actually pleased with Mary, because Mary was the one who was sitting at his feet and listening to him teach. She was the one who was actually focusing on him. So this brings us to the third moment, Okay, so again, we're answering the question, when are the times when we may lose joy in serving Jesus? So here is the third moment. Number three, we lose joy in serving Jesus when we try to become the master. We can lose joy in serving Jesus when we try to become the master. So let's go back to Martha's response in verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. Tell her then to help me. Do you realize what Martha was actually doing? Martha was telling Jesus what to do. In her anger about the situation where she's doing all the work and Mary wasn't doing anything, she became the one to tell Jesus what to do, and she disrespected the most honored guest. You know, they had Jesus coming to their home. She was supposed to be the one to honor him and respect him and provide him with a meal. But in the end, what did she do? She was demanding and commanding and telling Jesus what to do. But whereas on the other hand, Jesus had allowed Mary to listen to him teach, even though it was not customary for women in during this time to be in this position. So consider this. We will not have joy in serving when we are not satisfied with Jesus' way. We will not have joy in serving Jesus when we're not satisfied with Jesus' way. Or this, when the servant orders the master, then he or she actually becomes the master. When a servant orders the master, then he or she actually becomes the master. So let's talk about how that applies to us. I think many times in our lives, let's say in the context of us serving, we can be so disappointed with how ministry goes. And we can become very overburdened by it. And we just ask God, no, God, how come you don't just do this? How come you don't just change the situation? How come you don't bless my ministry? How come people aren't changing or transforming? I spent a lot of time preparing this Sunday school lesson. I spent a lot of time preparing for worship, but people don't seem to change or be receptive. I think a lot of times we can think that way, but with that attitude, what are we doing? We're telling Jesus what to do. We're demanding of him that, and having this expectation that he would have things go the way that we want it to be. And in that case, we as a servant becomes the master. And in that case, that's why we can lose joy when we are serving him. So I think I probably used this illustration before, but you know, think about if you are driving a car. Now, some of you have your permits, some of you actually have your license, but imagine how annoying it would be if there was someone else in the back seat basically telling you how to drive or where to turn, where to go. Now, this is basically backseat driving. Now, there's only one driver in the car. There's only one person in control. But a lot of times, I think if God is in the driver's seat, we can be the person on the side, the knowing person, basically telling God, oh, God, you should turn this way. God, you should turn that way. Oh, you just missed the highway ramp there. You know, there can only be one driver in the car. Are you going to let Jesus be that driver of your life? Are you going to let Jesus be in control of your life and actually be your master? Or are you going to be the one who is going to try to make call for the shots? No, if we do so, then again, this is why we can lose joy in serving Jesus. So, I mean, again, it is not wrong for us to pray and ask God for his blessings in our ministries in a certain way. But again, we shouldn't like serve and have the certain expectation that God will act and do things in a certain way. But rather, we should pray and ask God for us to conform our will to his will. And I think in doing that, that will bring us great joy because we know that whatever happens is in God's will. Whatever happens is what God will expect. And as long as God is pleased, then we should experience joy in that. So I had entitled this sermon that's called Experiencing Joy and Grace in Serving Jesus. Joy and grace. So it's not just focusing about joy, but also focusing on the aspect of grace. So grace is involved. What is grace? You know, grace means we're receiving something that we do not deserve. No, I think that we all can have a reminder that, you know, we need grace in our life. We need grace, especially when we are serving God. Think about this. There is nothing that you can do that will make Jesus love you any less. There's nothing that you can do that will make Jesus love you any less. No matter what the outcome is in the ministry as you serve, even if you fail in your eyes, you know, your worth before God does not change. I think this is also a level of grace that we can experience from God. So even when we're disappointed in serving in ministry, even when we don't see things happen the way it is, even when we fail in our eyes, God shows us his grace and he still loves us. And keeping that in mind should also bring us joy. So this is why when we're serving Jesus, we should also focus on joy and grace. So, I mean, so far we have learned in this passage, we answered the first question, when can we lose joy in serving Jesus? And we said that there were three moments. So number one, the first moment, we said we can lose joy in serving Jesus when we are distracted with much serving. The second moment, we can lose joy in serving Jesus when we compare ourselves with one another. And then the third moment, we can lose joy in serving Jesus when we become the master. So, I mean, so far, if we end the sermon there, it just seems a little bit depressing because all that is doing is just pointing out all of our flaws, all of the moments when we can lose joy in Jesus, and it doesn't really provide a solution. So, I mean, that's why I don't want to end the sermon there. I want to give us a level of hope. So this is why we also have our second question. How can we experience joy and grace in serving Jesus? So what is the solution? How can we actually experience joy and grace when we're serving Jesus? So for that, you know, so far we've been looking at the example of Martha, but let's turn our attention back to Mary. Let's look at what example that Mary had set for us. Read with me, starting from verse 39. And she, Martha, had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. So while Martha was busy and distracted with serving, Mary was the one at Jesus' feet. And when someone sits at a master's feet, you know, this is seen as a traditional position of a learning disciple. No, so during Jesus' time, you know, people would be at a rabbi's feet, listening to him teach, and this shows that this person is a follower. This person is a disciple. This person wants to learn, and like we mentioned earlier, traditionally this position was only for men. Women at that time weren't allowed to do it, but yet Jesus welcomed Mary to his feet to learn. So Jesus welcomes everyone to come to him, no matter who you are, no matter what background that you are from. We all need to find salvation through him. So the solution for us is, you know, really we should return to Jesus' feet. So let's answer our second question. How can we experience joy and grace in serving Jesus? Here's the answer. To experience joy and grace in service, we need to return to Jesus' feet. To experience joy and grace in serving Jesus, we need to return to Jesus' feet. Now, what does it mean to return to Jesus' feet? Return to Jesus' feet doesn't mean that we should just sit there and not serve or not do anything at all. But it doesn't mean that we should just be completely lazy, but rather returning to Jesus' feet should actually be seen as a prerequisite to serving him. So it means that, you know, before serving, before doing anything, we should be at Jesus' feet. You know, just like if you're taking classes in college, you know, you have like chemistry one, you have chemistry two, you can't take chemistry two without first taking chemistry one. Chemistry one becomes a prerequisite. You know, so likewise, we can't start just by serving Jesus and getting into ministry. Actually, we can, but it's not recommended, without first going through the prerequisite of going to Jesus' feet and building our relationship with him. At the beginning of the sermon, I mentioned that there is true, lasting, and satisfying joy that can only be found in Jesus. I think we need to consistently remind ourselves about this and about this joy that we can find in him. We need to remind ourselves about the joy that we can find in who Jesus says that he is. We need to consistently remind ourselves about the joy in the salvation that we can find only through Jesus Christ. And we can find joy when we remember the grace that he shows to us while we are serving as undeserved sinners. Now, when we have joy in Jesus, then we'll also have joy as we serve him in every single part of our life, not just in church. So remember the grace that is shown by Jesus Christ so that we can show grace to other people. So let's talk about application. How do we actually go to Jesus' feet? What does it mean? So when we go to Jesus' feet, it means that we are spending time with him through prayer and through reading of his scripture. You don't know how many times that I mention about this in my sermons, how many times I mention about this in our Sunday school classes, every moment that I get. Because I myself, growing up in church, really for a good portion of my life, I didn't really have a personal relationship with Jesus, even though I was a Christian. I didn't spend time with God in his word until there was a Sunday school teacher who had encouraged me to have this daily devotional time. And then I realized how much my relationship with God grew. I realized that there's so much in this life that I was learning about, so much about God that I was learning about, that I didn't realize prior to spending time with him. I thought back then that I was okay in my relationship with God. So this is why I really want to emphasize the importance of having a personal relationship with Jesus through prayer and through his word on a daily basis. Again, emphasizing that we need to return to Jesus' feet. Consider this. If we do not have joy while serving Jesus in our everyday life, then it's a sign that we have lost our personal devotion to him. If we do not have joy while serving Jesus in our everyday life, then it's basically a sign that we have lost our personal devotion to him. Where are we right now in our relationship with God? Do we see ourselves like Martha, where we are distracted with much serving, where we are comparing ourselves with one another, or where we think that we have become the master? Or are we like Mary, where we are going to Jesus' feet? So before you go and study, first return to Jesus' feet. Before you begin a long day of work, first go to Jesus' feet. Before you begin any ministry at church, first go to Jesus' feet. Before you do anything in this life, we should first return and go to Jesus' feet. I think this is necessary, and it doesn't mean that we shouldn't do anything at all and only be at Jesus' feet. But again, we need to be at Jesus' feet first before we can serve and do anything in this life. So, this goes to show that we should have a continual building of a relationship with Jesus by going to his feet if we are supposed to be doing this before we do anything in this life. I think by doing this, then this is what it means to have true joy and true grace and true satisfaction in him as we are serving. Let's read of verse 41 again. But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Which will not be taken away from her. There's one thing that is necessary. What is that thing that is necessary? No, Jesus said basically, going to him is the thing that is necessary. It is necessary for us to grow and build our relationship with him. It is necessary for us to not be anxious and to not be troubled. Mary has chosen this good portion, and if we have it, it won't be taken away from us. This is what Jesus had promised to Mary. It's what's been promised to Martha, and this same promise applies to us today. When we put Jesus as our priority in our life, then that is the good portion that will be blessing us in every aspect of our lives. Or maybe let's say that you are not a believer yet, maybe you're here in church for the first time, or maybe you're seeking, trying to see whether God is real, whether there is a God that actually loves you. Now, if you find yourself in that situation, I also encourage you to come to Jesus, because there is a guarantee that you will have this joy that is satisfying throughout your whole life. This is a guarantee that you see in the lives of Christians. Now, again, Jesus is the true Son of God who died on the cross for your sins. And through putting our faith in Jesus Christ, that's how we can be able to find salvation and eternal life. You know, this is something that is promised. And if it's really true in our life, this is the joy that can come in our life and will last forever. And for us who are Christians, who already have a relationship with God, maybe we just need to be reminded about this, how our joy can be found in Jesus Christ alone. So let's review everything learned from this passage. Again, we answered two questions. First question that we answered, when can we lose joy in serving Jesus? We said there are three moments. First moment, we lose joy in serving Jesus when we are distracted with much serving. Second moment, we lose joy in serving Jesus when we compare ourselves with others. Third moment, we lose joy in serving Jesus when we become the master. But then there's hope. That's why we answered the second question. How can we experience joy and grace in serving Jesus? And as we just said, to experience joy and grace in service, we need to return to Jesus' feet. My encouragement for all of us today, wherever we are, no matter how we feel, is to return back to Jesus' feet. Can we do that as we respond in worship? Can we do that even as we go back home and make a commitment to spend time with Him? It's my encouragement that we will do so that we can find joy and grace while serving Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for this message that you have given us. Lord, this reminder that we can find true joy in you. Again, forgive us when we have turned away from you. Forgive us when we have been distracted with so much serving. We're distracted with comparing ourselves with one another and really distracted by saying that, or thinking that we're the master. Father, forgive us of these things. We want to surrender ourselves to you. Help us to come back to your feet. And Lord, we know that you always welcome us back to you with arms opened wide. We don't need to clean ourselves up. We don't need to make any animal sacrifices to come before in your presence. But Lord, we have Jesus Christ, who died on a cross for our sins, who became that sacrifice once and for all of our sins, past, present, and future. And that brought us the way to go directly to you. Father, help us to find joy and grace in you. We want to lift up all these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen.